The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
If you only have that intellectual concept of truth, but no real experience with the Lord, you don't know the heart of God, the mind of God. You don't know the mercy and love of God. It's easy to judge somebody else and put them in bondage. So Apollos undoubtedly was destructive in his judgments of others because of his fervent spirit. But he had made at least 12 disciples in Ephesus. He had at least 12 disciples. But when he was sent to Corinth, Paul came to Ephesus. And when Paul came to Ephesus, Paul encountered 12 of Apollos' disciples. And I don't know what they said or what they did, but there was enough there to cause Paul to ask the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we have not heard whether it be a Holy Spirit. Then what in the world were you baptized into? John's baptism. Well, you know, John did baptize until the baptism of repentance, that those that would believe on him who would come after him, which is Christ Jesus. And when they heard that, when they heard the good news about the Messiah, when they heard the part that Apollos didn't understand, the part that Apollos didn't know, they received it gladly. And Paul laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. So Paul asked the question to Apollos' disciples in verse 2, I believe. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Did you receive? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Now, that's a question every believer ought to ask himself or herself. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? There are 5 baptisms mentioned in the Bible. However, only 3 are applicable to the believer in Christ Jesus. Now, if you receive, if you understand and receive 1 or 2 of these baptisms and not all of them, you're incomplete. What are those baptisms? There is the baptism in water. There is the baptism in the body of Christ. There is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And so without an understanding of all of these baptisms, then you're incomplete in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me break down these baptisms. Now, how many believe you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? You see, every hand should have went up because every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Don't let nobody tell you you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Now, perhaps you haven't been baptized in water. I don't know that for sure. Perhaps you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you have received the Holy Spirit. Now, do I need to remind you of what happened after the resurrection of Jesus? When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared in the upper room when his disciples were hiding out in fear. And he appeared in the room without opening the door. They were glad to see him. And he says, peace be unto you. Even as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Then he breathed upon them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He didn't say receive the baptism, because he would tell them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem and wait on the baptism. They had received the Holy Spirit, but they hadn't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if you understand one or two, but not all of these baptisms, then you're incomplete in your revelation. You're incomplete with your walk with God. And I'm telling you that God has more blessings for you. Now, there are three baptisms applicable to the believer, and there's three baptizers. Do I have your attention now? Three baptisms and three baptizers. The first baptism is the baptism in water. And who is the baptizer in water? It's a person. It's a man, a preacher, a disciple. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, go you therefore and teach all nations. He said this to his disciples. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Did you hear what I said? He told them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the first baptism is a water baptism, and it's always a man, a preacher, a believer, a disciple who is the baptizer. I have baptized many people over the many years of ministry in water, but I can't baptize nobody in the Holy Ghost. I can't baptize nobody in the body of Christ, and that takes me to the second baptism. The second baptism is baptism in the body of Christ. And this is what we don't hear enough teaching about. And this is why I insist that every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Because Romans 8 says, if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. Hello? Now that's where the rubber meets the road. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not a Christian either. Hello? I don't care what they teach at some church or some denomination. I'm giving you the Word of God. Amen. Some folks will tell you, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Nothing can be more often saying that. Right. When Jesus breathed on His disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, none of them spoke in tongues. Not until the day of Pentecost. Is that right? So the first baptism is water baptism, and the baptizer is always a person, a man. The second baptism is baptism in the body of Christ. Now here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says. It says, for we were baptized, every one of us, by one Spirit into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now here's what happens when you sincerely make Jesus Lord and Savior. When you sincerely say, Jesus, save me. I want to be saved. Then the Holy Spirit comes and He regenerates you on the inside. You may still look ugly on the outside, but He's regenerated you on the inside. How many hear what I'm saying? And that regeneration in your heart is a baptism in the body of Christ. You are now a member of the body of Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit. So the second baptism is the baptism in the body of Christ, and the baptizer is the Holy Spirit. How many follow me? How many glad to be baptized into the body of Christ? I don't care what nobody say. Don't tell folk you're not saved because they don't go to church. I would love to have as many people in this church as possible, but I will not compromise telling people the truth. Even if you don't go to nobody's church, and you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have been baptized into His body. Amen. By that one Spirit, you were baptized into one body. It doesn't matter your race, your color, your ethnicity, whether you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter about your socioeconomic status, whether you're bond or free, in other words, a slave or a free man. It doesn't matter about none of that. We've all been made to drink into that one spirit. Why? Because the Holy Ghost don't baptize me into the body of Christ. Look at somebody and say, the Holy Ghost has baptized me into the body of Christ. Now we got two baptisms so far, right? Water baptism. Baptism in the body of Christ. And I need to reemphasize this. Every Christian, regardless of their denomination, regardless if they're Catholic or Protestant, regardless if they're holiness or holy mess, they've been baptized into the body of Christ. And there's a lot of Christians got a lot of mess, got a lot of baggage. But who are you to tell them they're not saved? When the Holy Ghost baptized them in the body, are you greater than the Holy Ghost? Huh? We need to lay aside our legalism and stop being like Apollos. Just because you learned a few scriptures, or you went to school or took a class, just because you have good speaking ability, and you mighty in those three scriptures you remembered. You don't have a right to take that zeal and be destructive in your judgments against others. How many are starting to get this message? You don't have a right to be judgmental toward nobody when the Holy Ghost don't baptize them in the body. How can you go further than the Spirit? We need to back up and let God deal with His people. They belong to God, they don't belong to you. We want to tell folks how they should act, how they should look, how they should talk. We want them to conform to us. Amen. Well, God, then He says, I saved you, but He didn't say, I made you perfect. Right. You're still under construction. You have not arrived. Even Apostle Paul, as great as he was, he admitted, I have not apprehended yet. Paul says, I haven't got there yet. Amen. There's still room at the top for more growth. Now, this third baptism is the one that makes me want to shake. Oh my God, it puts jumping in my feet, clapping in my hands. It puts joy down in my soul. My, my, my. You see, I grew up in a church that told me that it wasn't necessary to have this baptism. They told me that went away with the apostles in the first church. Huh? They said all that speaking in tongues stuff, some of them said it was of the devil. That third baptism is baptism in the Holy Ghost. You can say baptism in the Holy Ghost, baptism in the Holy Spirit. It means the same thing. And guess who the baptizer is? Jesus Himself. Oh my God. Jesus Himself. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus says, behold, He said this to His disciples. Behold, I send the promise. I send the promise of my Father unto you. But He says, tarry in Jerusalem. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He said to them, now John truly baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He says, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then in verse 8 He says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power to be a witness unto me. And don't limit being a witness to passing out a tract, sharing a scripture with somebody. You're a witness when you relate to a person in a Christ-like way. If Jesus would not be judgmental, why are you? If Jesus would not condemn, why do you condemn? You're not being a good witness. But He's given me power to be a witness unto Him. And that's what the Holy Ghost do, as the old folk would say in the old church, and the Holy Ghost would keep you. Let me tell you something. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit will check your spirit and tell you you're being legalistic. Come on. You're being unmerciful. You're being judgmental. And you're being unchristlike. Jesus says, I will baptize you. He is the one who baptized the 120 on the day of Pentecost. When he told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with the power on high. These are the same ones that had already received the Holy Spirit. But they hadn't received the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself was the baptizer. We need to get rid of the spirit of Apollos in the church. Apollos was a good man now. He was a good man, but he only could go as far as he knew. You know, if you know better, you could, if he knew better, come on now. You can do better, is that right? Apollos was doing the best he could. He only knew about the Old Testament. He only knew about John's baptism. And he was probably still preaching about the promise of the coming Messiah and not sharing the revelation that Jesus had already died, he was buried, and he rose again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he was fervent in spirit, full of zeal, but he lacked God-anointed skill. We see this a lot. And it's endemic to Christianity. This problem is endemic to Christianity. You notice how people say, well, God called me to be a minister, called me to preach. They learn three or four scriptures. Then the next thing, the Lord showed me when we go start a church. And sometimes they'll start a church next door to your church, across the street from your church, in the same parking lot with your church. Huh? But you don't see that with the Muslims. You don't see that with the Jews. Come on, with the Hindus. You don't see it with any other religion other than Christians. And why? It's because when Jesus saved you, he gave you liberty. You are so free, you have the freedom to even be wrong. That's how much freedom you have. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you were made free. And be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. But some are entangled with the yoke of bondage. Come on. We think it's our way is the highway. And I'm telling you, that's the spirit of Apollos. But Apollos was incomplete. We don't want to be incomplete. We want to have that hunger like Apollos' 12 disciples had when they heard from Paul about Jesus and his baptism. And when Jesus laid his hands on those 12 men, they all began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Why? Because it wasn't Paul, it was Jesus doing the baptizing. And oftentimes we fall short. We short of blessings because we just don't know. We're incomplete. We started out being hungry in the things of God, the Word of God. Then we got to a place where we thought we had arrived. But I'm telling you, there was something else for every one of us to get. And at the least, you ought to get his promised blessing of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, John baptized you in water, but I will truly baptize you in the Holy Ghost, and I will do it with fire. Come on. Just like on the day of Pentecost. Didn't he say it? So I want Jesus to baptize me. It might be a man who lays hands on you as an act of faith to appropriate your faith, but it's Jesus who's the actual baptizer. And I don't want to continue to live my life incomplete. You know what? If there's something else to receive, I want to receive it. If there's something else to learn, I want to learn it. If there's something else to get, I want to get it. I never want to get to the place where I rest them on my own laurels, on my own leads, and say, because I've gone to school, because I got letters behind my name, I don't need his anointing. I don't need his spirit. I don't need his help. That is the spirit of Apollos. I don't care how educated you are. You can be an educated fool in the things of God. The Bible clearly tells us, and it tells us on purpose, Apollos was an eloquent man. In other words, he was educated. He was mighty in the scriptures and very persuasive when he preached those scriptures. This is how he was able to produce some disciples. But he was only preaching a fraction of a message. He didn't have the full revelation. Now, how much more should we be fruitful if we have a greater revelation now in this day and this time than Apollos did in his day? Now, by the way, if you look at verse 18, I'm closing now. But in chapter 18, brethren, you'll find that Aquila and Priscilla, they were in a place where Apollos was speaking. And they knew that Apollos was incomplete, even though he was fervent in spirit. So what did they do? After Apollos finished speaking, they brought him off to the side. You don't embarrass people in front of other folk. Aquila and Priscilla, they brought him to the side. And they began to explain the message and the revelation of Jesus to him more perfectly. Now, Apollos, the Bible says, he received it. He didn't let pride get in his way. Come on. He didn't get huffed in high-minded. I've been saved for 20 years. You trying to tell me something? You just came into church. Listen here. If Apollos could humble himself, as destructive as he might have been, if he can humble himself, how much more should you and I humble ourselves? Huh? There's something to learn from everybody. And even if you don't learn something from them, let me tell you something, beloved, it'll be a good review. A good review. Now, I'm finishing up now. But this passage shows us that we should never, chapter 19 shows us, we should never be satisfied with just being disciples and not knowing what we're really following. Apollos' 12 disciples were true disciples, but they really didn't have a full understanding of what they were following. They had only a limited understanding because they had a limited teacher. Now, what qualifies me to stand behind the sacred desk is not because I went to school, not because my father was a pastor, not because I grew up in the church, but because I get in the presence of God. How do you think I come up with a message incomplete? It's the anointing that we need. And there is no anointing without being filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, he says, you'll be a witness unto me. You'll witness not only in terms of soul winning, but you'll witness the mighty, powerful blessings of God. You'll be a witness of what God can do, what God has done. You'll be a witness of the goodness of God, the power of God. You'll be a witness of God in all of his character. Without being filled, oftentimes we don't see the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is really his Spirit, the attributes and the characteristics of his Spirit. But why don't we see them in everybody? Because they don't have any power to display them. You need power to walk right, power to live right. You need power. Look at somebody and tell them you need power. And Jesus said, you shall receive power after that. Not before, but after that. The Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So everywhere I go, when somebody encounter me, they should not do me like Paul did Apollos' disciples. Look at me and say, man, what was you baptized into? Come on. Oftentimes we have crises that we face. We have needs in our lives. We have problems that need to be solved. And the way we react sometimes, now I know human nature. You know, when humanity kicks in, that's when you need to recognize that's not your true self. Like when you get fearful, you know that God has not given you the spirit of fear. So you get back in your power and say, but he's given me a spirit of power. A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on. But that's how we know. We know when we deal with stuff, we have power. Do you have power to look at it right? To think about it right? To pray about it right? Do you have power? Or do you feel so overcome, so overwhelmed, you feel like giving up? That's because you don't have any power. And the Lord promised you that power. This is one of his promised blessings. And I believe this blessing opens the door to all the other blessings. To walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Incomplete. What is your grade today? Have you completed the class? Are you willing to complete this course? Are you willing to complete all the required assignments? What are the assignments? You might say, well, I've been baptized in water. And you just told me, preacher, that I've been baptized in the body of Christ. Well, there's one other baptism. And without that baptism, you're incomplete. And the enemy knows who's complete and who's incomplete. And that's why it comes at us different ways. Come on. We have to take authority over all the works of the enemy. We need to develop a lifestyle where we're rebuking the devil. Oh my God, we're rebuking that demon. Every time it's rear ugly head, I bind you in Jesus' name. Every time you get a negative thought, I avoid that thought in Jesus' name. That's Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.